Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. I pray that you tune in each day, and also pray that you're inviting others to tune in also. I believe this is a source for information to challenge us, to encourage us, to direct our thinking, and understand what's happening not only nationally but globally, and be able to be in prayer asking God to intervene each and every day as we serve Him. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Scripture is the first, foremost, and final authority, especially for the Christian, the child of God. We need to look no further than the Word of God. Many times people go to psychologists and psychiatrists and other sources of counseling help, and sometimes that may be all right. But many times I think it's because we circumvent, overview, and or look beyond what God says, and that is the first and the final statement on an issue. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identified truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not denominational dogma or philosophical rhetoric or a political ideological bent, but based on what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number today is important. Let me tell you why. I'm going to invite you to call in today. I want your opinion. I want you to ring the phone. I want you to tell us where you stand on the issue that we're going to be talking about today. I believe it's important that you call in and air your opinion and your thought that will promulgate and prompt others to think seriously about this issue today. The issue that we're talking about today, I believe, is one of the basic, fundamental, bedrock issues for Christian society in which we're living in. If we continue to allow the moderates, the liberals, the atheists and the agnostics, the anti-God crowd, and the Islamic jihadists and others to continue to harp about and to tear down our fundamental foundation that our nation's built on, and it's built on the authority of the Word of God. If we continue to let that happen, we're going to be in a place that we would look back and regret being silent. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask the question today, is the name Lord offensive? Is the name Lord offensive? The word Lord, L-O-R-D, is found in the Bible 6,781 times. 6,781 times. Now, yes, some of those occasions, it's not speaking of the Lord Jesus. It's not talking about Yahweh, Jehovah, God, as Lord. Some of those occasions, it's talking about Master and Lord. But nevertheless, the name Lord means owner, master, controller, and about all, if not all, of the places where it's found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I ask the question today, it's a profound question, very important question, is the word Lord, should the word Lord or the name Lord, should that be offensive for the general public to see? And I ask that question because whether you've read it or not, whether the fake news has covered it or not, I don't know. But I do know it's a major, major, major subject that with some conservative online news. And I think they touched on it on Fox News this morning about 6:30 on television. Here's the article, and I'll touch on several other articles about this during the course of this broadcast. But let me remind you, first of all, the telephone number is 831-0917. Write it down. Remember it, 831-0917. That's the telephone number. It gets you directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can discuss this today. It's urgent that you respond today. Many times you listen in silence. That's okay. But I want you to respond today. I want to know your stand on whether or not you think this is all right to do this. It is found, this article says, the word Lord is stripped, S-T-R-I-P-P-E-D, stripped, removed from a monument offering prayer for officers. Tiga K, South Carolina. By the way, that's right outside of Fort Mill, South Carolina. Tiga K was made famous by Jim Baker with the PTL Club many years ago. In fact, much of the buildings and the resort spots that's there now is as a result of what he had done back in the 80s. But Tiga K, South Carolina, a monument placed outside of the new police department in Tiga K has caused an uproar. I'm reading from the article dated July the 23rd, 2019, 7:17 a.m. article. It contains a prayer, often called the officer's prayer, end quote, which has now been edited by the city leaders because some were offended by the word Lord. Now, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, let me pause at a moment here. I'd be petrified to even be that city worker that was directed, paid for, paid to go out, and I've seen the pictures of it. They took some kind of filler, concrete filler, and blurbed over the name Lord three times in that officer's prayer, three places on that monument, blurbed over it, then painted over it. You can get up close and you see where that word Lord indentation is still there on the monument. Let me continue. It contains in the officer's prayer, which has now been edited by the city leaders because some were offended by the word Lord. The Women's Club of Tiga K donated the 4-foot stone for the city's new police department. It contains the prayer, and it's part of a memorial to fallen officers. Quote, we started getting, this is coming from the city bureaucrats now, the city manager, we started getting a lot of negative backlash. And they started reaching out to city council members. City manager Charles Funderburk, F-U-N-D-E-R-B-U-R-K. It's important for that because I'm going to tell you about it later. Charles Funderburk, it wasn't just one person, he says. And now, by the way, that is an absolute deceitful lie. As I've done the research on it briefly today, I've discovered that it was started by one person. And that one person is the one that started the ball rolling and got others then entertained and encouraged and challenged to do so also. We started getting a lot of negative backlash, and they started reaching out to the council members. City manager Charles Funderburk said, it wasn't just one person. He said there was no ill intent. Quote, we weren't trying to favor one religion or one person over another, Funderburk said. This article, I made a marginal note, wow. Not just the name Lord, now just the name Lord is supposed to be offensive. Lord, Kyrios, owner. That word Kyrios, by the way, is not meaning you're curious. It's Kyrios. It's the Greek word for Lord. And that word simply means owner, master, creator, controller, or you could carry it further, God. It refers to the name God. The city plastered over the word Lord every place it appears after getting legal advice about the potentiality of an expensive lawsuit and meeting with city council members. Quote, Lord is written three times on the monument, which got the attention of U.S. Representative Ralph Norman, Republican, Rock Hill, South Carolina, who posted his own video criticizing the changes. Quote, to have that scratched out is sad, to say the least, Norman said. That should never have happened. Further in this article, another monument outside the fire department has sat quietly for 2 years with no firestone storm around it. But last week, the city tried to remove the word God from it to allow avoid another controversy in the future. Literally, I watched that, ladies and gentlemen, on a brief video on that stone monument outside the fire department. It's a little different engraving, if you please, on the stone. It's where it's emblazoned in deep penetrating ink to form the words. They tried to wash out the name God, and it wouldn't allow it. So the name God on that particular monument is faded, but they couldn't remove it. Now they're saying they're going to have to go back, take hammer and chisel the name God off that monument. says last week they tried to remove the word God from it to avoid another controversy. They're simply trying to remove God. Listen, they're trying to cover over the name God. They've plastered over the name Lord. This is in one little tiny city. It's tiny in perspective to our city here in Jacksonville, but it is a beautiful city. It is a tourist attraction city. And here now, somebody has decided, and I'll read that article later in the broadcast, that we can't allow this to be because it's not inclusive enough, and so we got to remove the name Lord from the monument or the name God. The article finally says here in the balance of it, the prayer that caused the controversy is on the backside. Listen, it's not on the front side of the monument. It's on the backside of the monument. It's not even visible from the TKK Drive, and you'd have to park your car at the police department, walk around it, stand in front of it to be able to even read it or see it, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a deep, dilemmified declension in our nation today. If this is the mindset, and some might ask the question, is this something that just a few people are doing? Is this something that is a movement across America? And as I explained a little earlier today, it's like starting a forest fire and a little spark out in California, and that spark gets airborne and flies across to Miami, Florida, and starts the forest fire there. It is a far-reaching mindset when I say it in that fashion, but it paints the picture. And it's that spark that is being that's causing the flames across America. It's already happening around the globe where there's a whitewashing of anything that's called God, anything that's called Christianity. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that Christians are being bashed, Christians are being demeaned, Christians are being removed from the main thrust of our society today, and there's a movement to remove the name God or the name Lord. And as I said earlier, 6,781 times in the Bible you find the name Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns us, it warns you and it warns me, that we're going, as Christians, we're going to be persecuted. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now you can say, well, how is that persecution? It is persecution, ladies and gentlemen, when you try to demean, when you try to deface, when you try to de factly remove that one that I serve. And his name is Lord. His name is Jesus. He is owner, master, and controller. It is persecution, and it's becoming open in your face persecution for Christians today. Jesus himself warns us that the world will hate the Christians. John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Then in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And that word marvel means don't be amazed. Don't be suddenly surprised. It ought not to surprise us today, though it is bothersome to me, and I hope you can hear that in my voice today. It is very bothersome, but I'm not marveling by it. I'm not amazed by it. It's only what is normal for a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying, loose-lax-lost liberal society that's taking over the control of our nation today. We ought to be gravely concerned. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
As I'm watching these stories around the United States where whether it's a memorial that they would like to remove or God's name or reference to Lord, it seems like, you know, there's a verse of scripture that touches on not removing the old marker, not removing the old monument.
Landmark.
I mean, to me, if you remove markers, you can destroy lands. You have the sovereign lands. You have a personal lands, and you have markers. I mean, I remember on my old property years ago, I found a Coquina marker with Coquina stone over in the corner. That stone, that marker had to have been there for hundreds of years. Now, what happens when you move that marker? You know, the points of reference begin to be removed. You throw off. You can throw askew things that are very valuable, very important, and that's exactly what I see taking place. Historical points, good and bad, direct us so that we have a frame of reference. So if it's something bad, we don't recreate that same circumstance. If it's something good, if it's righteous, if it's decent, that it reminds us of our foundation, of our roots, of our heritage. I'm concerned that some Christians, even within the legal profession, I love them to death, those folks that go and they defend these cases in court and attempt to preserve these markers, these memorials. Sometimes, though, they argue that this is a historical thing. It has no religious implication. That verse, and I'm probably yanking this out of context, dealing with having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Tell you what, the power in this nation, the fact that this nation ever rose when we were standing against the most powerful nation on earth, in Great Britain and King George, back then, the notion that we ever made it as a nation is absurd, other than the fact that God's hand, his hand of providence, his sovereign hand was at work in the creation of this nation. For us to try to squelch him, for us to try to strike him out as a culture is a dangerous, dangerous thing for us to do.
Absolutely. It is super dangerous. And by the way, the city manager there in Tiger Cay, South Carolina, is Charlie Funderburk. Charlie Funderburk. And he allowed a friend of his, by the way, I watched the video, he allowed a friend of his to come into the city council meeting and give his diatribe. And the diatribe was that I'm a church goer myself, but I just disagree with this having the name Lord out there that would be offensive to some that may not be church goers. Well, I want us to understand that is a monument, a marker, as you said, that is giving a point of reference to who our allegiance belongs to, where we ought to focus our hope. And I made a marginal note. I said, Charlie Funderburk, don't you dare, as the city manager, when the next hurricane comes through, say, God help us, or stand before the microphones and the cameras when someone has been, their lives have been lost, the property destroyed because of some major catastrophe, as a hurricane or tornado. Don't you dare say, pray for our city, pray for our people. You've just banished God. You've just banished the Lord. You've just banished the creator controller of the universe from your tiny city. And now I've said, I want people to call, by the way, Charlie Funderburk's telephone number is 803-843-548, 803-548-3512, 803-548-3512. Call him. Say, brother, I love you, but what you've done is wrong. Shame on you. The next hurricane that comes, the next tornado that hits, the next flood that takes place, don't you dare seek God. Don't you dare call on God. You've just banned him from your city.
Right. Well, it gets me, too. I'd like to say to all these leftists, these atheist groups, leftist groups, Democrats, they want to extinguish God from the culture. I want to know. And maybe we need to ask this outright. How far are you going to ride this train, folks? How far are you going to ride this train? We have national cemeteries, not just all over this country, but all over this world. And you know the most prolific symbol in a United States national cemetery? The number one most prolific symbol? It's a cross. It's not any cross. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. The fact that his death on the cross meant freedom for us. As these soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, others lay down their life, their life's blood buys freedom. We recognize that by pointing back to the cross of Jesus Christ. When you go through Washington, D.C., you'd have to take a bulldozer to the entire in the entirety of Washington, D.C., to all the monuments, to all the Smithsonian. You'd have to destroy the Supreme Court. You'd have to destroy the Capitol. You'd have to destroy everything in D.C. in order to try to extinguish Jesus Christ, to extinguish God, to extinguish the God of the Scripture, of the Bible. Let me say this. That monument that is so renowned in D.C., the Washington Monument, as you get up to that point where the color of the stone changes, that was during the Civil War. They stopped. When they began construction again, they had sponsors that bought stones, paid for stones. Inside those stones, they're etched, they're hewn, many times with Bible verses over the Ten Commandments. When you get to the very top of that Washington Monument, and it's 555, 5.25 inches tall, it was the tallest masonry structure for over 100 years. It was the tallest masonry structure in our hemisphere. At the very top of it, there's a 100-ounce aluminum pyramid. And the eastern face of that is adorned with the words Laus Deo. That's Latin for praise God. I got news for you, folks. You're going to start extracting God, eradicating God, squelching God, marking God out. Are you going to take a bulldozer? Are you going to take a bulldozer to the Washington Monument? I dare you. I dare you. I'll bet you people would stand in line to make sure you didn't do that. I'll bet you people would start to realize how radical your agenda is. You know,
that's
put
exactly
every
right.
one of these monuments in the same category. Say, you know, ask folks in court, would you have the Washington Monument removed? Would you have it removed? Would you have it changed? You know, in 2007...
Greg, hold on a minute and continue to listen. We've got Woody on the line with a question. Woody, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I appreciate what Greg has said. I'll do two things. I'll second what he said about Washington because I used to fly over it once a week. The National Mall is laid out in the shape of the cross with an eastern orientation from which the Lord will return. I don't want to develop that, but happy to discuss with anybody anytime. The National Monument is laid out in the shape of a cross with the people in Congress at the foot of the cross. It's facing to the east. But here's what I wanted to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And the fact that... fewer and fewer people can say Jesus is Lord is to me indication of the age of declension in which we live. And one day the Holy Spirit is, and it very soon, I believe, is going to be taken out of the world, and all the horror that we can sense around us will actually be descending on us, hell on earth. I don't want to be here. Jesus is Lord, and the more people that can say that by permission and power of the Holy Spirit, the better off this nation is going to be. The Amen. Sign of our declension is exactly what's taking place. Moving over, covering over, removing the Lord aspect of who Jesus is. Jesus is Lord. End of commentary. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that input. You're exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, you tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917. Greg is on the line with us. We're talking about the fact that in Topeka, South Carolina, the monument that had the word Lord found in it three times has been blobbed out because they were fearful that somebody might disagree in some fashion. But as I said a moment ago, the name Lord, the word Lord, is found in the Bible 6,781 times, and the overwhelming majority of those times it's speaking of the Lord, creator, controller of our universe. One of the things that I wanted to understand is that when we say Lord, we're talking about Lord, Master, Owner. When the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he was out destroying Christians in Acts chapter 9, got to the very gates of Damascus with the search warrants in his pocket to go in and find and prosecute Christians, and he was stricken blind. He looked up and said, Lord, that is Kyrios, owner, master, what can I do? He said, at that particular point, we find that Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle because Lord, he was confessing him as Lord, Savior, Master in his life. Greg, what do you say about these people, some of these cities, that somehow want to bow to political correctness rather than bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Here's an article that I'll introduce the thought for you. This says, four Christians executed simply for wearing crosses. Four Christians singled out for wearing crosses were executed in the villages and in the African nation. In several attacks, including the latest, the armed terrorists challenged Christians to convert or die. Unidentified armed men entered into the village June the 27th and at the Open Doors USA field workers and told everyone to lie down. The attackers then proceeded to look for Christians by asking for their names and looking for anything they were wearing as a Christian insignia, and then they were summarily slain. Now, I remind our listeners today, You think this is a distant place? You think because we're talking about that happening in Africa? Ladies and gentlemen, today the cross, the Christian Christmas tree decoration, the manger scene, the Ten Commandments, the prayer in Jesus' name, public display of anything that would be talking about Scripture or any Christian Scripture verse, biblical verses, are today under attack. To be removed and destroy the vestige of anything that points back to the fundamental foundation of America based on the Word of God.
I'd say for every one of these towns, every one of these communities, whether they be school boards or city councils, mayor's office, sheriff's department, don't bow, don't bend. The reality is the Lord is our helper. In the midst of this, Jesus said, if they hate you, know this, they hated me first. Know this. Jesus took stripes for us. Know this, Jesus hung on a cross for us. You know, he knows exactly what it is to pay the ultimate price because he paid it. There's the reality that persecution is coming. It will continue to be here. The Lord can take us out through that persecution or allow us to be taken out, or he can preserve us. Daniel sustained the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked through the fire with the Lord. His will and his honor is what we ought to be focused on.
Absolutely.
The reality that he raised us as a nation, if we don't honor that, we don't respect that, I have news for you. The nation will pay the price. The notion in the Scripture is very clear that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Absolutely. Greg, we have on our money, In God We Trust, and the motto, In God We Trust, for the state of Florida. Today, because of Kimberly Daniels, a representative in the state of Florida, had the legislation passed last year that in all of our schools in the state of Florida, there must be prominently displayed someplace, In God We Trust. We find that there are some legislators, some of our politicians, that will take a stand on moral, ethical, biblical things, and I'm thankful that she did. And as a result of that, we have today that being prominently displayed, or should be prominently displayed in our schools. But today, Christians and our open faith is under assault, under attack. Christian bakers, Christian florists, shop owners, Christian businesses are being prosecuted and persecuted as a result of the Christian faith. And this is a form of Christian persecution. Don't let anybody misunderstand it. I want our audience to understand. They might say, well, that's in Tega Cay, South Carolina. It's not in Jacksonville, Florida, or it's not in whatever part of the city or the states that you're living in across America. But it is like a floodgate being opened. And if this is successful, and if they can get by with that in Tega Cay, they can get by with that in Jacksonville or any other location. This is the reason I say, ladies and gentlemen, call the city manager in Tega Cay, South Carolina, Charlie Funderburk, Funderburk. The telephone number is 803-548-3512, 803-548-3512. Great, we got about 2 minutes to go on the broadcast. Continue to share with us your thoughts about what is happening with this affront to the Christian population when saying that the name Lord is offensive.
This challenge to Christendom, this challenge directly to God, this thumbing the nose in God's face, this has always been, this will continue to be. From the time of serpent, the serpent in the Garden of Eden, all the way up till right now, it has been on continuum. I mean, Satan did everything he could to destroy the nation of Israel. Satan did everything he could to contaminate the nation of Israel. Satan has done everything he could to bring about devastation and destruction from the very beginning, and he'll continue all the way to the very end.
Absolutely. Greg, when you think about it, and I just thought of this, when you think about it, I reckon if somebody says, stand and recite the Lord's Prayer or pray the Lord's Prayer, we can't call it the Lord's Prayer because that's offensive, so just call it the prayer or the people's prayer or a person's prayer or the unknown name prayer because now the name Lord is supposed to be offensive. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the name Gloria Azrael, I-Z-R-A-L, Azrael, I-Z-A-R-L, in Tega Cay, South Carolina. Her telephone number is 803-802-3773. She heads up the ladies' club there in the city. She and her club are the ones responsible for putting that there. Call her and say thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that, and don't you dare let them remove it. Her name is Gloria Azrael, I-Z-R-A-L, 803-802-3773. Call her, thank her, encourage her to take a stand. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds left on the broadcast. Would you take these moments to challenge our listeners to stand for the name Jesus, for Lord, Master, Owner, and Controller?
Stand up, folks. The nation we reside in today, the United States of America, was founded not by religionists, according to Patrick Henry, not by religionists, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Realize this was founded as a Christian nation. Don't back down. Don't be dismayed. The very first words in that first amendment to the Bill of Rights is, Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion. Your rights are there firm from the very foundation of this country. Don't be a second-class citizen. Stand up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.